shirt on and your brown coat too. Everybody's joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank Season 2,
your Sorting Hat-sized podcast.
So we're here at our favorite Starbucks today at First and Wadsworth, and we have a special guest, Juliet.
Yo.
Who is a Harry Potter fan because it is Harry Potter's 20th anniversary.
That's correct. On 1997, June 26th, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone was released.
Which became a phenomenal sensation over the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And written by J.K. Rowling.
Yep,
and as Rowling. I understood, Rollins. If they roll down a hill.
Well, if you have that, then you have the Dark Tower. Because then you have Roland.
Oh, okay. But yeah. As I understood it, she was suffering from really hard times, and this book was
completely
being a huge
success. She was like destitute.
Yeah. Which it's an amazing story. If
yeah,
you don't
it really
know,
is. This is like the ultimate Cinderella story.
Yeah.
And now she taunts Donald Trump. That's what she does.
So I like the Harry Potter series.
Me too.
I didn't make it through the books successfully, but I did make it through the movies very well. So I figured it'd be good for us to have someone who knows what they're talking about.
I have read all of the books and I have seen all the movies.
But you don't know what you're talking about.
But I have no earthly idea what I'm talking about. So I figured we would call in an expert on this. So we have our expert.
So,
hello, expert.
Juliet, what attracts you to the Harry Potter series?
Well, honestly, the sense of otherworldliness, because the first time I read this series, I was in, I think like fifth grade, so about to turn 11. And since at that point I was struggling with finding friends and really moving around a lot, it was a way for me to sort of get away for a little bit and imagine myself in a different universe where things are a bit more awesome.
You were exactly the target audience because the books were written in target of you as you grew up, as I understood it. The books,
right,
as they were released, they were timed for your ascension into adulthood. So, does that sound right?
That sounds right. I'm just trying to, I mean, specifically you're saying fifth grade?
I don't remember the grades. I just know that as I heard, each book as they're released is supposed to grow in time and its maturity and its topics. So if you were to give all of the books to at the same age, 11-year-old, at the time, it's harder for them to read the fourth book as it is the first book. But if you have them read them incrementally.
Well, if you think there were 7 years, and 7 plus 5 is 12. So that's all 12 grades.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was specifically fifth grade. Harry Potter would have entered into sixth grade. So you would have been, for first years, that would have been sixth graders. So there you go.
That's
target audience. We've done the math, and we didn't need any assistance or a calculator.
Although I was about to find one.
I was too.
So the what similarities did you pull into your own life as far as what challenges did you see faced in the book that you were able to draw upon for strength?
Honestly, the family troubles. Like, you know, little trouble with family members and
your parents sticking you under the stairs.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have a dad.
Oh, man.
For quite a lot of my life.
A lot
so,
like Harry Potter.
Yeah. I found similarities in that, and it was comforting.
Stuck her under the stairs, too.
Well, this is our plan after the show. We're going to put you under the stairs.
Well, I already live in a closet.
That's true.
Okay. Who's your favorite character out of the series?
I'd have to say Hermione.
That's mine, too.
Yeah, mine, too. I think we're all Hermione fans here.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, all right, I'm going to hit the books.
Yep.
That's something I've never really been able to successfully do and hold on to it as a habit.
That's good, because that'll bruise your knuckles.
It's better than burning books.
Well,
That's true. But that's a different book. That's Fahrenheit 451.
Paperbacks won't bruise your knuckles.
That's true. So,
what's the coolest thing that you can remember that you liked the most that Hermione did in the series? I probably should have said spoiler alert before this.
About. If you're going to talk about, I mean, if you're listening to this and you have no idea what Harry Potter is, this, you know, might be a good time to steer away.
And where have you been? It's been up for 20 years.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert. Okay, so what would you consider the best scene for Hermione?
The best scene for Hermione. Oh, my. Really? I think it would be when she was putting up all the barriers to protect them while they're out nowhere trying to run away from everybody.
Right. That happened in almost all the books. No, I'm just kidding.
Mostly the last book.
Mostly the last book. But she was pretty powerful in the last book, so that's
pretty
cool.
Yeah, she was pretty badass.
Yeah. She was indeed. So, I don't know. My thought is my favorite scene's when she punches Malfoy. I just like that.
Yeah, that one is really fun.
That was the best one, I thought.
I know, but punching Malfoy is a great feat in itself.
He's been earning that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many movies. I mean, if really anybody who wanted to could punch Malfoy, he might need facial reconstruction surgery.
Poor Malfoy. He's born into his
situation.
He's
dad,
not poor, he's
his
rich.
His dad became a Starfleet captain. How weird.
I think, big spoiler alert, my favorite thing with her was her use of the time turner, because I would have completely done the same thing that she was doing. But, man, what do you think would be a good question for you?
I think that's something, I'm sorry, I'm heading off in a different direction. I think that's something that's very approachable about Rowling and her writing on the Potter series all the way across, is that the characters weren't, I mean, it was a supernatural setting, but the characters themselves weren't terribly supernatural.
She gave them very real problems that they had to deal with, very much like in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the way that was targeted towards older teenage girls and their problems.
Right.
Yeah. But you just replace some of the bad jerks with vampires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and sock elves.
Yeah, sock elves. Of course, those exist. I mean, where else do all your socks go?
I just assumed I was dreaming of eating linguine and ate them in my sleep or something.
Oh my!
Yeah, probably,
that might
that
taste bad.
That explains those weird dreams
and bad breath.
And the bad breath, morning breath,
and that cotton mouth.
I'm kind of imagining if these characters existed in our universe, that Harry Potter would probably be that one kid who all the teachers are like trying to look out for. You know, you see in all those encouraging, empowering movies where this kid from either like the wrong neighborhood or a parent's divorce, something like that, just really connects with this teacher and something amazing happens. He becomes a famous artist or a pianist, or he goes to MIT or just something wonderful.
I think he would have been diagnosed on the autism spectrum and put on medication.
Or magication.
Magic.
Well, he was on the magic spectrum.
That's true.
So
these things could happen. So yeah, that's a
we got our start in the magic world.
We went there.
We did. Yeah. I think for a second segment, when we get to that, let's talk about things that you would like to have seen in the movies that weren't there, but they were in the books.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to that segment after this.
Hi, I'm Bitsy Tulloch. I play both Juliet Silverton and Eve on Grimm. You are listening to Geek Tank.
And we're back.
We're at our favorite Starbucks at First in Wadsworth, and we're talking to Juliet, who is a Harry Potter fan. And we're talking about Harry Potter. I know that's a really strange thing.
Strange subject.
It is. So, there's only so much you can fit in movies. You can't obviously fit all of the books in the movies. But
sadly,
were there things that you really enjoyed in the books that did not make it into the movies that you really wish they had made time for?
That whole dance sequence with R2-D2.
Oh my goodness. Actually, one of my favorite and most beloved scenes is when Umbridge was ruling the school, the Weasleys quit in a beautiful fashion, you know, by any prankster standards. But what I really feel like they didn't include that would have been nice to include is they turned the second floor, I think, into a swamp. And they actually kept a bit of the swamp as in memory of the Weasley twins.
Yeah.
After it all got cleaned up.
I didn't actually expect that I could think of anything at all like that. I was like, I like these books. They're very good. I like these movies. They're probably like the books.
I could speak vicariously through my wife, and that she really enjoyed the part where Hermione worked very hard to try to free the house slaves and was trying to bring to light how wrong that was. And when I heard that, I'm like, yes, that should have been in the movies. That sounds awesome.
She was the house slave advocate.
Right. And that, I don't know why they didn't make time for that, except for the fact that it is called Harry Potter and the blah, 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 not Hermione and the blah, blah, blah.
It was more because I think it's political when they're trying to make these movies more action-y and trying to fit everything that really counts. I mean, that does really count. But the main plot points, like, you know, the nails in the wall.
Right.
I agree. I think it would have turned it into a politics thing, and there would have been a lot more arguing about it. I mean, we had Dobby in there. At least, you know, Dobby was part of...
They touched on it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like it was absent in the movies.
Now that you brought up Dobby, I'm going to ask our Harry Potter fan here. I felt that Dobby was the Deus Ex machine, meaning that he was the, okay, I got these characters in a really horrible position that I can't figure out a way to write them out, so I'm going to have this super uber powerful character come in and save them. Because Dobby was pretty much the I'm invincible until he gets invincible. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But he was conveniently uninvincible.
Right. It was...
I actually kind of felt that was a little weird.
A little bad writing.
Yeah. I mean, and we don't give Rowling a lot of, you know, bad writing marks because she's really good.
Not having read that part of the book, is that how it goes down in the book, too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Pretty much.
There's a really old video game that I really like called Final Fantasy VII, and there are these items you can get on them called Phoenix Down Feathers, and you can use them to bring back your teammates who have died.
Oh.
But you get to the middle of the game, and there's a cutscene, and one of the characters gets killed for the convenience of the plot, and you have to just leave them. And I'm screaming at the game going, I've got these things that revive my friends every time in combat. Why can't I use it now? And it was all part of the story. It had to happen for the story's sake.
There's this whole thing about, spoiler alert, Eris, though. I mean, this is like now echoing through so many geekdoms. I've never played the game, but yeah.
Oh, you mean the character that dies?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much about Eris that it ends up being... I mean, even geeks like me, I know all about that.
You haven't even played the game.
I've never played the game. I have no real interest in the game.
Right.
And it's like, even I know about that because so many people are just either stunned, shocked, or... But that was the moment, that was a watershed moment of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And for that matter, gaming in general. But it was kind of like... the same thing. I mean, Dobby might have been in that same thing. I don't know if I would call Cedric in that character sort of the shock moment where you're like, oh, now this is a game changer.
Cedric was a very important part in Harry Potter's character arc.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he had to die for the sake of the story. I just kind of wish he didn't. He was an awesome character.
She does a good job of building up characters than, you know, and having horrible things happen to them.
Yeah.
I didn't read the whole thing, but I saw this interesting thing saying, what if Cedric was part of House Slytherin and how that would have changed everything, because then Harry would have tried to save him and nobody would have cared because House Slytherin character died and they wouldn't have been all upset with him. But then House Slytherin would have respected Harry because he tried to save one of their own. Wow. And I was like, yeah, it completely changes everything
it
at that point.
It changes the dynamic.
It does.
So
because the Sorting Hat did say you would be good for Slytherin, but it would be too easy for you.
Right.
But yeah. That is a very interesting dynamic that I'm probably going to spend like the next 3 days not being able to stop thinking about it.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, it's like an earworm.
It's a mind worm. That was such
mind
a huge thing in the plot to make everybody hate Harry and make them think that he caused Cedric's death. And then,
right.
So
that's an interesting thing. But like I said, I mean, it's like there's a lot of spoiler alerts in this one. For those of you who have not read Gundam, spoiler alert to Gundam, of course, that the main character in that also is killed. And I think that there's an interesting amount of shock value to that. And I've got to give Rowling another one of those props because she was really good at her tactical.
Yes.
When she decided to hit the character. Unlike some people out there. Martin. I mean, what? I'm sorry.
The opening credits just finished and five main characters are dead.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wait, what?
Winter is coming and all of our characters are dead.
I'm assuming you have not read Game of Thrones. I'm guessing you're banned from that book for another few years.
My parents do not think it's okay for me to watch it. 13.
Not watch, read.
Read the books.
They think it would be too disturbing.
Okay.
I don't know.
I kind of concur.
The books are actually
I think it's too
less
disturbing for me.
The books are less disturbing than the TV show.
I'm reading Stephen King and I'm just fine.
Yeah, if you can read King, you can read Martin.
Four Past Midnight. She needs to read Four Past Midnight.
Okay. I tried to find it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We've lost Four Past Midnight. You can find that.
Yeah,
no.
You just need to get together a skeleton crew.
Ah.
When I went to get it, my mom's like, nope.
Maybe it was eaten by the Langoliers.
That could be it.
That could be it.
So, I'm going to get us off this train.
Yes.
And get us back.
Hop on a different train.
So, the character Neville. I think he is an extremely underrated character in the series.
He is.
A
like
lot of
you,
people overlook his importance.
Yeah, like the underdog characters that turn out to be critical to the entire story.
Mm-hmm.
And we just play him down through the entire thing.
Can you imagine?
Play him down through the entire thing until they have their one grand scene
moment
where it makes you realize way back and back and back and back how they have been building up this story in their own way.
Well, it is. It's a role-playing game. And Neville was an NPC until the very last part. And then someone showed up and says, I want to play this character. And then that's why all of a sudden
he all of a sudden became a main character.
Right.
Yep.
That is interesting. Neville's interesting. There are a lot of very intriguing characters in that story.
Luna?
Yeah, Luna Lovegood. That was exactly where I was headed. I was gunning straight for Luna. Because she is a very intriguing character, but what's more interesting is the actress that plays her in the movie is pretty much Luna in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just like, that's the way she is. In her, which I
think
was
that's
awesome.
What Gwyneth Paltrow has become.
Yeah.
From what I've been reading.
Yeah.
It's just a fascinating thing.
Now we've become, what's that TV show that makes fun of celebrities? Extra or whatever. I can't remember what it's called now. Any case, Access Hollywood.
Access Hollywood.
I don't know.
We make fun of celebrities now. What?
Yay, celebrities are real people now.
So I want to know, if you have all these major schools for magic, why don't they ever talk about the community colleges for magic? For the kids who can't afford
right.
to go to the
Hogwarts
major ones.
That's right. Hogwarts is basically a magic private school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they never
Where's
talk
the public schools
Yeah, like
magic?
ACC. Or ACC? ACA? The one that's down the street from where I live.
I don't know.
Oh.
Arapahoe Community College. Oh. ACC.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know
well,
why.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, they're not colleges. These are normal, like, elementary schools. So, you know, where's the public? I mean, what's a...
You know what?
That would totally be what I would want.
Yeah.
If it was my turn to write fan fiction in the Potter universe...
It's public schools.
Public school version.
I mean, they mentioned having schools in America.
Right.
This is like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, like American schools, but they also seem like private schools. That doesn't really seem like there's any public schools, but I guess Hogwarts could be a public school because really anybody... Any magical buddy would...
Any non-muggle
would probably go to Hogwarts. if they're in that area. I mean, if you and your family live up in the snowbanks of where the heck of whatever, then you'll go to the other school. Or if you live in France, you go into the girls' school. But
I'm going to take the magic online course.
Where's the all-boys school in France? I mean, there's an all-girls school, but where's the boys' school for France?
There's no boys in France.
What? Wait, what about the Russian one? Were there
that
girls
explains
in Russian?
A lot.
They're all going too fast. It's Russian. They're all Russian here.
I don't remember
Russian
seeing any
there.
Females in that. That might be the all-boys school.
There you go. If you're a boy in France, you're just shipped off to Russia.
That's comforting.
Yeah, there you go. It's the old, oh, you've got magical powers? Yeah, it's to Siberia for you. Yeah.
That reminds me of Hugo, the boy who lives in the clock tower. He's not magical, but I want to ship him off to Siberia, I don't think.
Well, we'll think about that during the break, and we'll be right back after this.
My name's Una. I'm with Nerd Necessities Network. You can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. This is Geek Tank.
And we're back.
We are at our favorite Starbucks here on First and Wadsworth, and we have a very special guest, a Harry Potter fan, Juliet.
Hello.
So this last segment, I'd like to talk about something that, not having read all the books and watching the movies, I was watching them without a lot of information because they assume a lot in the movies that you know from the books.
Yeah, they assume everybody who's seen the movies has also read the books, yeah. Which is utterly and completely convenient.
It's like when the Stag Patronus shows up for the first time, I was completely lost. I'm like, what is that? Why is this here? Has this turned into Princess Mononoke? Is that the spirit of the woods? I didn't know what was going on.
And the little clicky things.
Yeah.
Clicky things were awesome.
And my wife was explaining, oh, well, you see, blah, 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 blah. And so I had to have her catch me up on that.
Which was happening in the middle of the theater, and that's why they got ejected the first
right.
time.
No, I'm very polite and wait till after a film to talk about it.
What?
They were texting each other.
So we fast forward.
That's even worse.
To Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, which I believe was the last movie with Harry Potter.
Yes.
And as it's ending, and we're having these flashbacks and realizations, I make this leap of judgment on the film and assume that they're going to reveal that Snape, get this, is Harry Potter's father.
I know
that's not the case. As it was happening, I was in total shock because I'm thinking, there's no, how can they have such a huge twist in a kid's film? This is amazingly huge and powerful.
Deathly Hallows 2 is not a kid's film.
No, it's not. But, well, I mean, the series is leaning up to that. Well, I was thinking,
well you've been
this...
growing up with it. I mean, you know, so it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
But after the movie, I was like, I can't believe they did that they implied that. And Tara's like, no, in the books, it's 100% clear who Harry Potter's father is.
Yeah.
And there's zero chance of it ever being Snape. But for me, the way the movies presented it, it was making a strong case that that's what was going on. And I started thinking back on all the movies as they played out. What if Snape, if you watch the movies thinking that, what if Snape is Harry's dad?
That would really explain a lot, because that's why he's so like tough on him, because he wants to toughen it up. That's like every single dad's I've ever met instinct. Besides, you know, horrible dad jokes.
And that's why we kick you.
And if he has to hide it for his son's own sake, because he knows what would happen if it was revealed that he was Snape's son, he has to create this persona of being mean to him, because what father would be so mean to their son?
Right.
I know. But I see that's where they sort of fell off there, because...
Yeah. Well, here's the clue that made me really think, that the false clue, as it turned out, that Snape's Patronus was...
It was Lily's Patronus.
Lily's Patronus. Which,
this makes sense, sort of.
What is Harry's Patronus?
Harry's Patronus. Oh, my goodness.
So.
Wasn't it also a stag?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a stag.
So if the mother's a stag Patronus?
I thought his mom
Patronus?
Was like a
maybe it's
fawn.
Not. I'm trying to remember if it was that. Was
so if you happen to know which Patronus is which, be sure to email us at questions at RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
Yes. So glad we set that up.
Please be nice.
But that's
because all of us are clueless again.
But there were several things like that made me. And I was thinking, well, he speaks Parseltongue.
Yeah.
Which was passed.
But this is sort of where the movie fell off the bubble a little bit, because the books included flashbacks of why Snape loves Lily, because she protected him from James, who is Harry Potter's father, because James was an ass.
Yep.
And Lily sort of told him off from bullying Snape.
I'm looking it up because I was just as irritated. Harry's is a stag.
Yeah.
So
well, we knew Harry's was a stag.
Snape's is a
doe?
Doe. Yes. A fawn is a baby deer. Mm-hmm. A doe is a female deer. Ha.
But
I win.
And a ray is a drop of golden sun.
So yeah, so me, Harry's was the same as James Potter's, which was a stag, and Snape's was the same as Lily's. But still, mm-hmm. because of that connection, I could see it all still ending up meaning
yeah.
that it's his son.
Now that I think about it, you're probably not the first person to assume that.
Probably not. And because James was such a jerk, it was like, oh, well, of course he's a jerk. He's not really his dad.
Yeah.
And Snape sacrifices so much through the thing, too. And you find, like, in the very first one, they set it up to make it look like he's the villain, that he's messing up the Quidditch game, but really yeah. he was trying to save the Quidditch game.
Right.
So he's,
and it's that turban dude.
Right. The turban dude.
Never trust the
professor.
Never trust anybody who's got a,
the defense of the dark arts
under their turban.
Who's our defense of the dark arts teacher this year? Because the last one turned out to be a villain, and the one before that turned out to be a villain.
Oh my goodness.
Turned out to be.
Well,
and Sauron, he was just full of himself.
Yeah, the hotshot one wasn't really.
Oh, he was great. Played by
a
Kenneth
villain.
Branagh.
Yeah.
He wasn't really a villain. He was just full of himself.
He sucked.
He's just a goofball.
I think the only defense against the dark arts teacher that really taught them anything was... Credit, I can't remember.
Wasn't
the
Sirius?
Werewolf.
Sirius Black? Was he one of the
Sirius?
No, Sirius wasn't...
Sirius was always, like, kicked out.
No, yeah. It was the werewolf.
Yeah.
Who also happens to be the villain... Ares and Wonder Woman, right?
Yes, that makes me so sad. because my brain is like, oh, that's Professor So-and-so from Harry Potter. He is a good guy. He is the defense against the Ares. And it's so weird, because he's
Lupin.
Now the Dark
Lupus.
Arts when he...
Lupin.
Professor Lupin, yes. He's
because
he was
it has to be Lupine.
Right.
Yes.
In order, they don't want anybody to be surprised that he turns out to be a werewolf.
Yeah.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, defense against the dark arts, and now he is the dark arts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of weird fan theories, do you remember the one that, because I know we talked about this, the fan theory that the sorting hat sorts you into, or sorts you, I can't
into
remember.
Into the house that you want to be sorted into.
Right, but not in the house that you deserve to be put into.
Right.
What?
Because Harry Potter should have been Slytherin.
Yeah,
and
honestly.
So, but he
was,
wanted, and he even said it, make me Slytherin, don't make me Slytherin.
He wanted to be Gryffindor, mm-hmm. like his dad.
Yeah, he wanted to be Gryffindor. But the sorting hat puts you into where you wanted to be, not where you deserve, or where you should be.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, the sorting hat had a higher... I had heard another fan theory that it had a higher theory, like it could see... what was going to happen. So it was sorting them not by any you know, randomness or any character piece, but because it knew what piece of the puzzle you belonged in.
It knew your place in the ginormous puzzle of the
right.
future.
Right. Which I thought, those are interesting fan theories, too.
It is interesting.
That'd be kind of cool.
But then again, there's cases like Malfoy, where he...
Well, Slytherin's just the trash dump of
well,
all
his
of
father
them.
Was Slytherin.
Right.
So.
He wanted to be Slytherin, but he also deserved to be Slytherin.
Well,
right.
It obviously can't take care of that in that case.
And what do you do when you have just a whole bunch of jerks for kids this year? They all end up in Slytherin. You know?
I don't know. But then there's also...
Kreb and...
Yep.
And what's his Kreb and...
And there's also Bonehead. Brain Fart.
Yeah, that's him.
It's Brain Fartius Maximus.
Maximus.
That was the Roman fighter.
Who cast magic.
Yes,
yes.
But he cast magic, all right.
So I was trying to look up the theory really fast, but I failed to look it up quickly.
That's right.
I loosely have heard of that one. I always thought it was interesting how the points are much like the points in Whose Line Is It Anyway? They're just random. You've successfully, Gryffindor successfully put creamer in their coffee. 10 billion points.
Right.
Slytherin saved that cat from drowning. 1 point.
Yeah.
Well,
it's so biased.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Mostly because I think
it felt like they were a little bit stronger.
The books were definitely stronger in this is why they're getting points.
Yeah.
Happy Days, you know, Sunshine, Rainbows, and Blood.
I bet it'd be fun to. I bet somebody, a fan out there, has online a chart of all the points so you can try to figure out the algorithm of how the points work.
Yeah. If you have a graph of that, steam it, email it.
Send it to us at
questions at RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
Very nicely set up, Juliet.
So there's an entire website devoted to Potter fans.
I'm sure there's several.
Pottermore, isn't it?
That sounds familiar.
No, I mean, like, as
the official.
There is a website that was a forum, and somewhere along the line, J.K. Rowling joined the forum.
Wow.
And now she leaks bits of the story and bits of the world onto this forum. Because I recently heard that through this forum, she had released that Harry was not the first Harry Potter in his family.
Hmm.
That his grandfather was like, what was his, Henry Potter. His great-grandfather, or his grandfather was Henry Potter, but they called him Harry. So he was the first Harry Potter, was his grandfather, who was also a do-gooder.
Hmm.
And she leaked that to the forum, and now it's canon.
So there's Pottermore.com, and that does look like it's officially sponsored by JK.
But I find that fascinating that it started out, I remember seeing it in the universe out there back early on. Mm-hmm. And now she really does sponsor it. But I mean, I remember hearing a news report that Pottermore was this place, and I actually think I have a login on it.
Okay.
And it was this place, and I was hanging out there reading stuff, and I thought, it was kind of cool. And then I stopped, and then somewhere along the line, they said J.K. Rowling actually has a login, and then it was J.K. Rowling's actually posting stuff there.
Hmm.
And I thought, there's a certain amount of awesome when the creator gets involved
with the
fandom. And she's really big on getting involved with her fans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that's a very...
awesome.
And I think that CBS could stand to listen a little bit to that. I'm just saying.
Oh, it was all personal. You were all leading up to a Star Trek thing.
I was leading to Star Trek.
Way to step on our guest there.
Yeah.
We still love you, Uncle Guy, even if you're a Trekkie.
I appreciate that.
Except for me.
He doesn't love me.
I never loved him.
That's very unkind.
It's purely professional.
It's always been professional. Him and me. It's so sad.
So, okay. What about this for the last thing? Harry Potter as a TV series, starting over, because they love doing reboots. I mean, heck, there's another Spider-Man coming out already with a new actor and a new origin story and stuff. What if they start over fresh with a whole new young cast and do it as a TV series, and that way they could put in everything that's in the books?
I think it would be interesting, just like Star Trek Discovery, since Uncle Guy's Trekkie. It might be a little hard to accept because the movies that we grew up with and imagined and everything we see it as had those specific actors. You know, Emma Watson and...
all of those people.
All of those other people.
It'd be quite the adjustment.
Hermione and everybody else that was in the book.
Yes, Hermione and everybody else.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it would work. I know that for the things that have happened like that, for example... From Dusk Till Dawn got turned into a TV series, and it took me 3 episodes to get over these are all entirely different actors.
Yeah.
That problem with The Expanse.
But it's not a series based off a movie.
No.
Right.
The Expanse is a series off of the books, though.
Right, but you didn't
and they're moving through the books in sequence like you would expect Harry Potter to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're putting in as much detail as they can.
But you didn't have to get over specific actors being played by different actors.
They were played by different actors in my head.
Yeah. Well, that's your problem.
My problem when they do that is they're often like, okay, so we're at the end of it, and there's no more books or movies to go, but we still want to make more money, so we're going to try to add on to it. And often it doesn't work like they expected it to.
And
it crashes and burns, and it makes you hate the series.
That's when we get Harry Potter, The Wonder Years.
Right.
All right.
So, Wonder Potter.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest on the show, Juliet.
You're welcome.
And that's all the time that we have for today. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank. Talk to us on Twitter at @RMGeekTank or Facebook at Facebook.com/RockyMountainGeekTank. You can always email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
You can find us on iTunes and Google Play. Please give us stars. You can also find us on YouTube. Just look for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank on there and find our channel, subscribe to it, and like the videos that you like.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis, wishing you and yours a happy Wash Your Dragon Day. Good night.
Why are people so afraid of the new Star Trek Discovery series?
Well, now.
Yeah, and this gets put in my court, I can tell already.
So is this going to be like a whole 30-minute extra show?
Yep, so this is, I would make a joke reference to...
I'm going to set a timer for you.
Okay, setting a timer. The long and the short of it is people don't like change.
That was my answer.
And Trekkies are old and grumpy, and I say this with great love because I am old and grumpy, but the long and the short of it is they don't like change, and I have heard them complain about everything from the design of the ship to
female captain,
the female captain, to they just don't like Michelle Yeoh's performance, and I'm sitting there going, she's doing just fine. They don't like,
has anyone been released yet?
No, just the little preview.
They don't like her performance on the commercial.
Yeah, the five lines that she has that we've seen, and that's it. So I don't know.
And you're part of forums, so you actually see the complaints as they pop up.
I mean, I'm seeing what they chatter about, and that's actually what Juliet's referring to. Is she's been looking over my shoulder as I sit there and go, what are you people whining about?
And I believe I
now?
Heard you say someone actually complained about the ship design.
Yeah. Which is interesting, because the ship was designed by Ralph McQuarrie, who's the same guy who designed the X-Wing fighter, the TIE fighter, the Millennium Falcon, all of the iconic ships of Star Wars. So it's, I mean, and he passed away, but they're resurrecting that ship design. So it's a Ralph McQuarrie design, and I don't know why they're getting all upset. The truth is, sorry Andy Probert, I didn't like the Enterprise D, so they can whine all they want.
Next gen, right?
It's the next gen.
It's weird because it's space, so it doesn't matter, but I had the same, it's top-heavy feeling.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't matter if it's top-heavy, it's space, but yet it still feels weird. It's like a giant turkey. Especially when it detaches its head, it definitely looks like a turkey at that point.
Because then it's a turkey with its head cut off.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So the answer is,
people are stupid.
Don't like change.
Oh, people don't like change, I mean.
Yeah, that was what you meant to say.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that question. Yeah. If you guys have any questions that you wish to ask us, you can ask us by emailing us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.